This podcast may contain hoarse language. Listener discretion is advised. Listen up, everybody. Get ready for the pod that rocks your bod. It's now time for the Flix Max podcast. Here are your hosts and two true flyers, Scott and Terrence.
Hello, and welcome to Flix Max. This is season 4, episode 1. And I am one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I would just so happen to be the other host, Scott.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Hey, Terry. How's it going?
It's going well. It's been a long time.
It's been a while. So we just opted to create a new season because there's been such a gap since our last season.
And we're going to change things up a little bit.
Yes. Revamp, reformat, and unbeknownst to you listeners, this is actually a revamp of a reboot, and then another revamp. Like, we've tried to revamp three different times, even before recording the podcast.
There's five or six layers of wallpaper on the wall now.
Yes.
So, basically what it boils down to is that we're kind of lazy in watching shitty movies.
It's trying. It's really hard to get motivated to not only watch but to thoroughly take notes on these movies,
especially when it's really, really bad.
Yes, I'm looking at you, Shark Exorcist.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, as you say, but I mean, there's been many a movie more watched by Terry than me that we've just decided not to do because they've been so bad. So even ones you've heard, there have been ones beyond that didn't even make the cut.
Exactly.
I'm looking at the barn.
So basically, we're going to broaden our basically our spectrum of what we're going to talk about. We're going to try and talk about all sorts of different things, but condense it down into 1 hour bits, I guess. So yeah.
It'll be more segmented. Like, we'll have, like, this is what we're talking about now, this is what we're talking about now. I mean, it will be, whoops, I just kind of spoke through a burp. So hopefully we'll keep that in. It will certainly still be movie based. Like, we're not just, you know, gonna start talking about, you know, our crotches or something like that. I mean, we could if that's what the fans demand. But it will be,
that's actually on the schedule. For the show.
Oh, wow. I didn't get that updated agenda.
Oh. So, yeah, basically what our main segment will be is a list. So the list can be anything that has anything to do with movies or television.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For example, today's list will be what movies we are looking forward to the most for the remainder of this calendar year, 2021.
Yes. And sometimes they'll just be open lists, and other times there'll be actual rankings. So that's just the way things go. And we'll have a couple other segments within each podcast as well that hopefully will become regular things. And in time, maybe we'll add other things as well, depending, you know, time permitting.
And I feel like the listeners will enjoy it more because people love to listen to other people's lists and basically tell us we're stupid because our lists are wrong.
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully it'll generate some more interest.
Yes. I mean, we are looking for nothing but negative feedback. So go right ahead.
Negative feedback and emails from porno sites. That's what we are looking for.
That's right. That's right. Because, I mean, that's basically what our past has been. Well, not the negative feedback. Like, we haven't really had that. I mean, we could, but they just haven't. They've been too scared to tell us. They've been scared.
They're scared.
But yes, we did do a segment about what our emailers were saying, and yes, it was mostly very sensuous.
That's one word to describe.
Yes.
Yes. Sensuous, sensual.
Yes.
Sensual massage.
Yes.
So yeah, it may take a couple episodes to get it all down, but
yeah, it'll take a little fine tuning, but yeah, just get the flow of the new format, new pacing, that sort of stuff. But hopefully, it will still, you know, keep your interest, or maybe we'll gain new interest, or maybe we'll lose people. Who knows? All I know is that the less shitty movies I have to watch, the better.
And for our lists, like most of these movies, besides today, of course, we would have seen already, so we don't have to try and find 6 hours a week to watch movies mm-hmm. when, you know, we've probably already seen these.
Yes.
So yeah, let's get into it.
What? Okay.
So what should we do first, Scott? Should we do our list? Should we do the pick of the pod? Should we do a quick review? Or should we do our personal challenge? What should we do first?
No, let's just start off with, I think we should end with the pick of the pod. That will be kind of how we end it. I say maybe we start with a quick review
okay.
of the last movie we saw at the theater.
So the last movie we saw at the theater was called The Night House. I guess it's not really a horror movie. It's more like a psychological thriller.
Yeah, it's certainly got some horror elements. Horror yeah. elephants.
Definitely, and there's some good suspense or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was directed by David Bruckner.
Yeah.
Do you want to let everybody know what he has done in the past?
He has done probably his wife, if he's married, or her husband. What? I'm not sure what.
Hey, that's sensual.
Yeah, it is sensual. That's what you're going to be getting on this podcast, sensual talk. He has directed segments in anthologies such as VHS and Southbound. He directed a Netflix original entitled The Ritual.
Which was really good.
Which was quite good. And he did a movie from 2007 called The Signal. That was good. And he is responsible for the reboot of the Hellraiser series, which will be coming out next year.
Excellent.
Yes.
So basically, the movie stars Rebecca Hall, who she's from The Town. Anybody's seen that, it's one of my favorites.
Iron Man 3. The Prestige.
Okay, just off the top of your head, eh?
Yeah. Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, what an amazing, amazing movie that is.
Yes. Oh, The Gift. That you want to put, if you want to put, pair it with a psychological movie like this one, The Gift would be a good one too.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves? And
no, that's the Jason Bateman, Joel Edgerton one.
Oh, that yes, that one. We saw that in the theater, I think.
Yes, we did. That's a good movie. That's a dark, disturbing kind of movie.
Yeah.
Good twist.
So basically, this is the gist of it is this woman's husband commits suicide and she's left with the house on a lake, and she starts to feel like it's he's still there. Yes. He's haunting the home or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of unravels into like he had a secret life and he was responsible for murdering a bunch of young women, but we kind of learn in the end he was doing it for her.
Yes.
I liked it. I thought it was mm-hmm. pretty good.
Yep.
Good soundtrack. Good atmosphere. Very stripped down kind of horror movie, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it was probably shot during, you know, last year, or maybe I was thought maybe it was shot before that, but I thought whether or not it was shot during the pandemic, so it was kind of more isolated to be away from people. But
I think it debuted last year on the festival circuit.
Okay.
So it might have been shot pre-pandemic.
Right.
Or at the beginning stages or whatever. But yeah, this movie could have easily been shot during the pandemic because there's minimal cast.
Yeah.
There's no more than three or four people on the screen at one time during the whole movie. So but yeah, I thought it was pretty good. We've been kind of limited as to what we can go see.
Yes.
And 75% of the movies out right now are released to video on demand same day. So, you know, there's no point in going to the theater if you can watch it at home or whatever.
Right.
But, this one we did decide to go see, and I enjoyed it. So that's a quickie review of The Night House. I recommend it if you're into psychological thriller, haunting type stuff.
Yes, and not to confuse it with The Lighthouse, a black and white movie about masturbating lighthouse keepers.
He also has a flatulence problem.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the quickie review.
Yes, that was excellent. Well done, Terry. I'm proud of
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
So what should we do now? Should we do our list?
Yeah, why, you know what? Why? I'm going to get ready with the bleep button. Why the fuck not?
Oh.
There's your horse language for you.
Sensual.
Yes.
Flixmax brings to you The List. Here are our most anticipated films for the rest of 2021. Now keep it real, MFers.
So what is our list this week, Scott?
Well, as you stated earlier, it's our most anticipated movies for the remainder of this calendar year, 2021. Of course, this list could change based on whether or not things get delayed again, depending on, you know, aspects of going on in the world right now. So,
yes.
So this is based on the release dates as they are right now.
So basically I have 8 movies. How many did you get?
I think I had more than 8, but I kind of cut it down to just to have 8, and then, you know, one that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. So 7, and then that extra one, because that 7 + 1 = 8.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Not only is this a podcast about films, it's a podcast about math.
Yes.
And you nailed that equation.
I know. And I didn't even use new math.
What?
It's just, that was old school math.
You used your fingers?
I used, I didn't. Oh, man, I didn't cheat. I just used my head. I mean, I, like, 1 + 7 is somehow just ingrained in my head as an answer. So,
man, that is, you just blew my mind. You just blew.
mad skills.
You just blew my mind.
Oh.
So, should I start?
You know what? Why not?
So, I was Googling the movies that are coming out. And I came across one called American Underdog.
Okay.
And it is the biography of NFL superstar quarterback in the 90s, 2000s, I guess, Kurt Warner.
Right, yes. Who was married to his grandmother?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
He was the quarterback, number 13, for the St. Louis Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They were dubbed the greatest show on turf because mm-hmm. their offense was unbelievable.
Yep.
So yeah, I didn't even hear about this, but
I think I heard about it, but I didn't know what it was going to be called, but I heard they were doing a movie about him.
So basically Kurt Warner was an undrafted, I think he was undrafted quarterback who was bagging groceries at the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah. Like, well, and real. he was an arena football quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he got a shot with the Rams and won, what did they win, 2 Super Bowls?
At least one, and then he ended up being a Hall of Famer. So
yeah, and then he went to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And now he's a broadcaster, I believe.
Mm.
And this is stars Anna Paquin, Zachary Levi.
Does Anna Paquin play Kurt Warner?
Anna Paquin plays... I would imagine his wife.
Probably. Because I thought that would be a brave casting if they put Anna Paquin as Kurt Warner.
Well, I don't think it's a Disney movie, so
okay.
None of that. Zachary Levi, who is Shazam.
Shazam and Chuck.
So yeah, I like football movies. I don't know if this will get a big wide release or not, but
mm-hmm.
why not?
I don't know. Why not?
Why not?
Okay.
So that's my number 8.
Okay. Well, not this is my next, not necessarily my number 8, but this will be the first one I'm saying. It's a movie that was obviously been delayed. A horror movie called Antlers. Looks to be some sort of based on North American native myths about some creature that comes and starts killing people. Looks like, antlers play a big part in this creature. It has Kerry Russell was in it, Jesse Plemons, Graham Greene.
One of the finest Canadian actors.
Yes. And it's directed by Scott Cooper, who directed Crazy Heart and Black Mass and Hostels. And
so this is a bit of a different...
it's a little bit different than him, sort of a brooding drama. It's more of a horror. And it's executive produced by Guillermo del Toro. So it's... I think it has promise. So... I haven't seen a really good creature feature in a while. So,
yeah, the trailer looked really good.
Mm-hmm. So that's just one I'm looking forward to.
So that's funny you mention Guillermo del Toro, because my number 7 is a movie he's directed called Nightmare Alley.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Starring.
There's nobody familiar in that movie, right? That doesn't have a very good cast.
No, Cate Blanchett, Bradley Cooper. He's been in a couple things, I think.
Yeah, up and comer.
Paul Anderson. So it's based on a novel, and it's from what it says here. It's an ambitious carny with a talent for manipulating people with a few well chosen words. Hooks up with a female psychiatrist who is even more dangerous than he is.
Oh,
so Del Toro, he doesn't really attach himself to crap. So,
well, I mean, Crimson Peak was okay.
Yeah, it was too much sizzle.
Yeah, it certainly felt like a Del Toro, and it had a great classic American gothic type horror, but the story really didn't amount to anything.
I thought it was too bright, too much special effects, which is something that he does rely on quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, Willem Dafoe is in it. Ron Perlman, Toni Collette, Mary Steenburgen.
What, Ron Perlman in a Guillermo del Toro movie?
Weird, right?
Yes.
I wonder if he plays Hellboy.
Maybe.
So yeah, that's looks interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my number 7.
Okay. For me, I've got again, just picking randomly. I've got Last Night in Soho. It's from extreme great writer director Edgar Wright. This is a guy who hasn't missed with pretty much anything. Such a great success rate. It's got Anya Taylor-Joy, who've just won Golden Globe for The Queen's Gambit. She's in New Mutants and The Witch. You know, great actress. Another actress named Thomasin McKenzie, who was the female lead in Jojo Rabbit. It's got the late Diana Rigg. It's got one of the Time Lords, Matt Smith, is in it.
Oh.
So yeah, no, I can't really describe what it's about. It looks like it's going to be pretty trippy. It's certainly a departure for Edgar Wright. It's more of it's a drama horror. He usually does. Well, I guess he did Shaun of the Dead, but that was more of outright comedy horror. This is more of a serious. His movies are a little more lighthearted, with this. And
yeah, his movies are clever comedy, action comedies.
Hot Fuzz, World's End, Baby Driver, Scott Pilgrim, which is one of my all-time favorites. So, I'm looking forward to that, just to see what Edgar Wright does next.
Did I read it? It was yesterday. I read it or heard it on TV that Anya Taylor-Joy is going to get back together with Robert Egerton, who did The Witch.
Right.
And she'll be starring in his next feature. I can't remember what they said it was about, but I'm sure it'll be something spooky and amazing.
Yes. Okay, so that's the next one on my list.
So that brings us to my number 6, which is a film called Prisoners of Ghostland.
Okay. What is this movie? Well, it's on my list too, so I mean it's fine.
So it's a Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, I've heard of him.
So hopefully it's continuing in his vein of his latest movies being home runs.
While being most of them being batshit crazy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find it here.
Oh.
Prisoners of Ghostland. So essentially, it's a action horror thriller. A notorious criminal must break an evil curse in order to rescue an abducted girl who has mysteriously disappeared. Ooh. And if the poster art for the movie is anything like the movie, it will be batshit crazy.
Yes. Like he's had some real home runs in the last couple of years, like Mandy, Color Out of Space, Mom and Dad. Willy's Wonderland, and then this year, going completely opposite direction, he had Pig, which is getting Oscar talk for him, which is just a phenomenal performance where he has only one brief scene with Cage Rage.
Yep.
And it's a really thoughtful, haunting, touching movie that is just so different from any of these, but still he's at the top of his game.
So yeah, this one comes out, when does it come out? It comes out in October, maybe next month.
Okay, well, as I said, that one's on my list too. So, even though we've overlapped, I'll just continue and do another one.
Okay.
I have for, you know, because the movie looks entertaining, and for nostalgia reasons, I am looking forward to Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Okay.
This movie is, or the original is, like my number two favorite movie of all time. And so this, I'm just really looking forward to it. You know, it's paying tribute to, you know, to Harold Ramis, and you know, adding Paul Rudd to the cast is just awesome. And of course, this was filmed where we live in Calgary, so it's be interesting to see what they use. But I mean, and it looks like, yeah, it does honor the original, and that's probably what I'm most looking forward to. It just gives me those nostalgic feels, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent choice.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my next one, which is from a smaller franchise, the 007 James Bond franchise.
Right.
If
they can only catch a break.
Yes.
Yeah.
No Time to Kill,
mm-hmm.
which has been basically pushed back for, what, a year and a half now?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out September, was it? No, it was supposed to come out March 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like one of the first big studio ones to get pulled. So
yeah, Daniel Craig.
His swan song is Bond.
Yep, his last Bond movie. I think most of his Bond portrayals have been pretty good.
While the movies necessarily have not.
Yeah.
He seems to go back and forth, does a good one, bad one, good one, bad one. And so we're on a good one for this, if we keep with that schedule. I didn't really care much for Spectre.
Yeah, it wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Casino Royale might be the best Bond movie. One of my favorites. So yeah. That was his first one.
Yeah. And Skyfall was great too.
Yeah. Skyfall was good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I always like to see some James Bond action, and that's on my list.
Okay. It did not make my list. I kind of anticipated it being on yours, so I didn't do it. Although I did anticipate you putting Prisoners of the Ghostland on your list too, but no, I think that deserves a second shout out.
Yes.
Again, these are in no particular order for me. So I'm actually looking forward to Venom, Let the Carnage Begin, or whatever it's called. I really had no desire to see the first one. And then I did see it. I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. But with the addition of Woody Harrelson as Carnage, that just gets me more excited. You know, you put Woody Harrelson to anything, I'm probably going to watch it. But yeah, no, I'm just it. And this the trailers actually make it look pretty good, like a little more darker. The other one, I think, tried to have a little too much slapstick and comedy relief with, you know, Tom Hardy arguing with Venom inside of him. But I think this one is might be a little more grounded. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That did not make my list. I wasn't a big fan of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it was a little too much jokey, mm-hmm. kind of. But that seems to be like a Sony Spider-Man universe thing that they do with the slapstick,
right. mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. Yeah, Woody Harrelson will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So my next one is Halloween Kills.
Another franchise that needs a boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just a sucker for Michael Myers movies. They always come out around Halloween, obviously. And I thought the 2018 reboot or reimagining
the new timeline establishing or whatever.
Yeah, the direct sequel was pretty good.
Yeah.
It took itself a little more seriously. So yeah, this one, and you know, the writers, the director, they're good. Obviously, Danny McBride's one of the writers. David Gordon Green, is it?
Yeah.
Is a director. Same as the last one. And I'm just like a Michael Myers fanboy, so.
Yeah, I mean, you always are talking about the Love Guru.
Yes.
Yes.
Wrong Michael Myers.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no, this again didn't make my list because I anticipated being on yours. This one has a huge endorsement from John Carpenter. I mean, it could be, you know, he might be a little biased because, you know, he's probably getting some money out of this as I think he's producing it. But he said this one is quite good. And the body count is supposed to be amped up like quite a bit compared to the last one. Michael's just supposed to be going, you know, crazy in this one.
Well, and it looks like
a lot more.
It looks like there's a couple nods to Halloween 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which has nothing to do with the series, but is kind of revered now as a good movie on its own. Like in the trailer, you can see the nod to that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a bit of a nod to the original Halloween too. But yeah, I look forward to that.
It's got the return of Tommy Doyle.
Yes.
I wish they got Paul Rudd to play the part, but they got Anthony Michael Hall instead. But it would have been awesome if they brought back Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
But
he may have priced himself out of
what?
May have priced himself out of their budget.
Either way. I mean, yeah, this.
Oh yeah, and this, it brings back like Lindsay Wallace too.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the little girl in the original one.
Right. And now it's like one of the Beverly Hills housewives, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's certainly, yeah, it's got potential. I have high hopes for it. I mean, I haven't been like it's not that I dislike Halloween. I'm not as enamored with it as you are, because I know how much you revere certainly the original one. You know, it's, but I enjoy the movies. They're just not like I don't know what that noise was or how people can interpret that noise, but that noise reflects how I feel about the Halloween series. But
okay,
but yeah, so yeah, that's fine. I'll go see it with you. That's fine.
Okay.
My next one, I'm going to continue with the superhero thing and go with the Spider-Man No Way Home.
Hey, that's my next one too. Let's talk about it together.
Okay. I think, you know, we've probably mentioned it before, but I think Tom Holland is probably the best Spider-Man that there's been. He's certainly the most boyish and eager and exciting and stuff like that. Certainly more age appropriate than, you know, the past two.
Yeah.
And with this one kind of opening up like the multiverse, and you know, there's potential of all past three Spider-Mans being in this, past villains. There's rumors of the Netflix Daredevil being in this one. Doctor Strange obviously is going to be in it. Like, it's a huge crossover event, and I think this could either be epic or it's going to crash terribly because they're just trying to throw too much into it. So I've got high hopes, and I hope they're met, but I'm preparing to be let down as well, because could they just be like Spider-Man 3 when they threw everything in there, just, and it was just terrible.
one of the worst movies, one of the, my most hated movies ever.
Mm.
So bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think this Spider-Man franchise, whether they bring back all the old franchise stuff or not, is the most, I think it's the most complete. Mm-hmm. It's got the most continuity. I'm not a big fan of like the blue Electro,
mm-hmm.
or like the mechanical Rhino, like the supervillains from the other series. But
yeah,
you know, this, you're right. This will either be huge, like, you know, Endgame,
mm-hmm.
Endgame type.
Yeah.
Big, or it'll be a piece of trash.
Yeah.
But I don't think Disney will put out something that, you know, mm-hmm. I know it's a collaboration between them and Sony, but
yeah,
Disney's not going to lend their characters to a crappy movie.
No. And I'm just more happy with the return of Alfred Molina as Doc Ock, because I think he's certainly the best villain from the original series. So
easily.
Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah. So my next one is The French Dispatch. I really couldn't tell you what it's about. All I know is that it's a Wes Anderson movie. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit quirky. And I love, and it's going to have some symmetry with the cinematography. I think he's a great director and writer, and his movies are always so visual, and you know they're his movies. They just have that feel. And pretty much everybody who's anybody is like in this movie. Like
every actor in Hollywood?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'm just gonna read the list and just cherry pick names here. And you know, Timothy Chalamet, Edward Norton, Jeffrey Wright, Elizabeth Moss, Benicio del Toro, you know, Owen Wilson, Saoirse Ronan, Adrian Brody, Tilda Swinton, Christopher Waltz, Frances McDormand, Willem Dafoe, Bill Murray, Liev Schreiber, Angelica Houston, Jason Schwartzman, Henry Winkler, like, and there's just more other recognizable names and faces in there too, but that's just a stacked cast. And but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. It's just whenever there's a new Wes Anderson movie, I'm happy. So
I like Wes Anderson's movies. I'm not as big a fan as you are, obviously. But yeah, they're always interesting. I still have not seen Isle of Dogs. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'll definitely give it a watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
All right.
So is this this should be your final one then? And I have a feeling.
No, I have two more.
You have two more? Oh, yeah. Let me see here. Let's see. Did I miss one? Well, we had overlap. So okay, I don't know why you have two more. Well, because I guess we shared two instead of, so yeah, so. Why don't you do one and I'll just pick a random one and then we'll end on the first one. So I'll have nine, but no big deal.
So my second to last one is Dune.
Okay.
The director Villeneuve there.
Yeah.
He did Blade Runner, 2090. Was it 2049. And, that's one of the best movies of the last 5 years, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And if the cinematography and the look of the movie is anything like that, it's gonna be amazing. Hollywood's been trying to get this right for how long now? 40 years?
Yeah, I mean, David Lynch had a crack at it, but Dave, it was very David Lynch. I've never read, you know, the original novel.
No, and I
know, there've been multiple like mini series that played on like the Space Network or Space Channel or Sci-Fi. that have been adapted, but I haven't seen any of those. I've seen Jodorowsky's Dune, the documentary about the movie he wanted to make, and that would have been crazy. But yeah, no, this looks like it's going to be epic, and again, huge cast. I mean, I'll see anything with Jason Momoa. So
obviously,
yeah. And but yeah, no, this is supposed to be a planned two-parter. Like, he's not everything's being thrown in, cramped into this movie, but I think this movie is well over 2.5 hours, or it's supposed to be. But yeah, this is going to be a huge film. Like, this is, it just looks like, even they can't even narrow down a trailer. They have to have like a 3-minute trailer instead of the standard like 2-minute. They can't even, you know, condense it down into two. But
I think we need a good science fiction franchise, or, you know, because Star Wars is kind of petered out. Basically, Star Wars is just going to be on the Disney Channel from now on, Disney Plus. It's all just going to be shows and series and whatever. So
yeah, and these will have the best sandworms on screen since Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Dune.
Okay. I will just say that's the movie I'm interested in most. That was my final. So I'm just going to throw out another one here. Just because and I don't even know if this release date is actually right, but I think it is. But I'm kind of interested in seeing what they do with the new Matrix.
Yeah.
Matrix Resurrection, I think it's what they're calling it. Again, I think this is going to be it. They could just have left well enough alone, but they could have done that just with the first one. Like, the sequels weren't even necessary. Bad. But I think they want to right the ship and kind of go back to what the original was. And so, yeah, I'm just more, not necessarily anticipating it, because I got to see it. It's more of a curiosity of seeing if they can, you know, establish and, you know, see if they can reinvent special effects like they did with Bullet Time in the original one. So that's where I am with that. So,
and Keanu Reeves is scorching hot right now.
Yes, he is.
So probably no better time to capitalize on a Matrix reboot. I was never a big fan of the originals.
Yeah.
The first one was good because it was kind of an original idea. But yeah, they just killed it with the two sequels. They're terrible. Like, especially the third one's terrible. Yeah.
Just so convoluted and trying to create this world and, you know, mythos and stuff like that. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So my number one, you've mentioned it already, is Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Same reasons for you. It's, you know, one of my top five movies of all time. It's probably the movie I've seen the most ever in my life. Probably by far.
Yeah.
It's filmed here. And they're not kind of discarding, you know, the mythos behind it. You know, they're, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray are gonna be part of it, obviously.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson and I think Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
And and Annie Potts, because she's in the trailer. I'm a little disappointed that Rick Moranis, unless that they're really hiding his cameo, because it'd be nice to see Louis Tully back.
I don't think he's interested in Hollywood anymore, though.
But he is being in a new Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie.
Is it direct to Disney?
I think it might be a Disney Plus. But yeah, he's going to be, they're doing a kind of a reboot. I think it's going to be involving like his kids doing it. But he's obviously going to be in it. So he is going to be returning to Hollywood. After he, you know, got mugged in New York and then appeared in Ryan Reynolds' cell phone commercial.
I even kind of appreciate that they haven't discounted Ghostbusters 2 completely mm-hmm. either.
Right.
Because obviously the final scene of the trailer is Ray Stantz answering the phone at his mm-hmm. occult bookshop.
Yeah.
So, you know, it seems like they're keeping it all in the family,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping everything kind of part of it. So
now the offshoot of the Ghostbusters series, with the female reboot featured all the Ghostbuster actors playing different characters in that world. So is the new one going to feature the female cast as different characters in the new one?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But I hope not.
I actually haven't seen it. I haven't seen the, I think it's called Ghostbusters Answer the Call, I think is what they call it now. But
is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's way more, like the original is got like a certain charm. It's obviously a comedy, but it's not forced comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not slapstick kind of, you know, But the Ghostbusters reboot with the all female cast was all just slapstick,
right?
Like forced comedy. So,
well, then.
But yeah, it'll be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, it's been screened already, and people are loving it. So,
well, that's good.
I guess that concludes our.
Yes.
What we are looking forward to in 2021.
Mm-hmm. So, segment I came up with for this next one. This is a way we can talk about movies, new movies that we've seen as a part of the Cat Podcast, instead of just doing a list of rewatches. This kind of makes us have to watch a new flick. And I call it, you know, the personal challenge or personal goal. That you just pick a movie or a specific genre or specific actor or something like that you want to watch a movie of that you've been putting off, and you try to watch it before the next podcast. If we don't, you know, no pressure, we just push it off, and if we do, great, then we pick a new one for that after the podcast. So that's what I envisioned.
Is there a name for this
segment? I don't know. You know, just, you know, personal challenge or, you know, whatever, personal Jesus.
Oh, is this a Depeche Mode podcast?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Me.
So that's funny. I was actually thinking of one last night before you had even mentioned this segment.
Right.
Something that I have not seen that I should have seen.
Mm-hmm.
So. My challenge to myself over the next week is to watch Wolfen from 1981.
Ah, yes. Albert Finney.
I've seen a lot of werewolf movies, mm-hmm. a lot of 80s werewolf movies, but I've never seen Wolfen.
Well, this was a year of the werewolf, because in 81 was American Werewolf in London, The Howling, and Wolfen. So,
yep.
So, yeah. So, and with Albert Finney and Gregory Hines.
There's actually a pretty big cast
mm-hmm.
in that movie for what it is.
I've seen it, but I was young when I saw it. I don't really remember a whole lot of it, but I think I remember enjoying it. It's not your atypical werewolf type movie, but no, I think it's fairly solid.
Sweet.
Yes. So mine is just more of a guilty pleasure. I need to watch something I've been putting off, because when we had our old incarnation of the podcast, this is a movie that I had suggested for us to watch for the podcast. And so I've been putting off watching it in order for that. But because we've now done this 180, I'm like, okay, I can watch this now and don't have to worry about, you know, making notes or watching it. So I'm finally going to get around to watching Psycho Gorman. It's just looked
it's like, really good.
Yeah, it looks like just balls out insanity. I think it's by the same people who did Turbo Kid. And that thing is just insane. So yeah, this is one I've been putting off just, you know, but now I gotta watch it. It's not like one of those classics that, oh, I just haven't got around to watching it. This is one I've been wanting to watch, and now I have reason to watch it. So
if it's not by the people that did Turbo Kid, it's it has definitely has Turbo Kid fingerprints all over it.
Right.
Like it's in the same vein, the same kind of like B movie acting, special effects. Like it's good. It's a good movie.
Okay. No, I am incorrect. It's not by the same people who did Turbo Kid.
It's definitely influenced.
Yeah. Though. But yeah, no, it's a guy who did The Void.
Yes. The Void.
And a movie called Father's Day that I've seen. And it looks, I think that's a trauma movie, and it looks absolutely, that thing looks crazy. But yeah, no, looks very cheesy. Like the trailer at least has a very cheesy 80s type vibe, camp feel. And so, yeah, I've just wanted to watch it. And so now I will.
It's almost got like a trauma.
Yeah.
Trauma vibe to it.
Cool. So. Now do you want to introduce our next new segment?
So basically we used to do like a little segment where we just talk about what we've watched over the last week or whatever. But we're going to kind of tighten it up and go with one thing that we've watched over the last little bit. Just talk about it a little bit. So this will be called Pick of the Pod.
Hey everybody, quiet down please. These two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's pick of the pod.
So Scott, what is your pick of the pod this week?
My pick of the pod this week is a movie that came out in 2017. It is a Netflix original, and it's called I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for it, but yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
It's from a guy named Macon Blair, who's a writer-director. This was his first directorial effort. He is an actor as well. He's been in a lot of movies by a writer-director named Jeremy Saulnier, who did Green Room and Blue Ruin, which are kind of more classic, kind of almost neo-noir type horror action, slow burn type movies. So this movie has that kind of feel where it's building to something big. It's got Melanie Lynskey in it from... It's got Melanie Lynskey in it from Heavenly Creatures and Two and a Half Men. Elijah Wood is in it, who's obviously been in tons of things, and actress named Jane Levy, who is in the Evil Dead remake and Don't Breathe. It's basically about a woman whose apartment or home has been burgled, and just how violated she feels, and the police aren't really doing anything about it, so she kind of teams with Elijah Wood to hunt down the people who robbed her house, and she gets drawn into this kind of weird underworld, and like some crazy stuff happens. And yeah, it's real slow burn with the ending just explodes. It's yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
I'm going to have to check that one out.
Okay.
So mine is, I just watched two episodes today, American Horror Story Season 10. So basically this, I don't know if you're familiar, like I'm sure you're familiar with it. I don't know if you've seen any seasons or whatever, but.
The only one I've seen in its entirety is Roanoke. That's the only one I've watched. Like I've started watching Murder House a bit, never finished it. Started watching Freak Show, but I stopped watching as soon as they killed off Twisty. And I started watching 1984, but didn't finish it. But yeah, it's it. I mean, it's it. It really. I mean, it's okay. It's just series really didn't grab me that much.
So season 10 is called Double Feature. So basically five episodes are one story, five episodes are a different story, but I'm sure they're going to tie in at some point.
Right.
So basically the whole cast is back. Evan Peters, Lily Rabe, Francis, is it Conroy?
Yeah. Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson and Macaulay Culkin is in awesome. This season.
Nice.
And he's actually pretty decent so far.
Yeah.
So basically the first five episodes is a story about there's this drug that basically turns you into a vampire. Mm. But if you're a creative person, it makes your creativity crazy, like really good. Like if you're a writer, you just write. If you're an artist, you can just paint and it just flows out of you. But if you're not a creative person and you take this pill, it basically turns you into like a mindless vampire type thing.
Right.
So, this writer moves to Cape Cod, and this town has these mindless morons everywhere, just killing off animals, drinking the blood, blah, blah, blah. So he gets entangled with these two other vampires and takes this drug. So he's starting to become a vampire, but his writing is at like its apex peak. Right. Like he's just producing. So it's only two episodes in, but so far it's definitely caught my attention better than like probably the last four seasons.
Mm.
Like I think the last real great season was Freak Show.
Right.
But yeah, that's my pick of the pod. I don't know. Whether you watch it or not is up to you. I really don't care.
You're right. It's my decision. You have no influence over me, you son of a
bitch. You'll watch what I tell you to watch. And you won't watch this.
Okay, I won't. Fine then. I'll do what you say and I won't watch it.
Fine.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, future podcasts, you know, we'll have a little less stunted because, you know, we'll get with the flow. But something we are doing with this podcast that's also different than the other one is we will give you a teaser of what our next episode will be about, like what our next rankings or list shall be. And Terry, do you remember the one we discussed?
Yes.
Okay. Lay it on me. And then tell me the pod and then tell me the ranking title.
Our next episode will feature our list of Marvel characters that deserve better exposure in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So whether it's an existing character that
has been done dirty,
deserved a better fate, or if it's like a character that we would like to see
introduced and
So now that basically Marvel has everything, it could be X-Men or whatever random character, villain, anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that'll be it.
Yes. So look forward to that. So yeah. So I guess it's time to sign off.
Oh.
So you know, until next time, this is Scott signing off.
And this is Terrence.
Yes. So, toodles.